fly in, fly out, something that you're familiar with in your community, miners, health staff, professionals of all walks of life spending time in the more remote parts of our state to ensure services are able to be provided to you. But things changed pretty quickly around COVID-19, as you know, just in your own life. So what happened to remote eye care in Western New South Wales? Well, I want you to meet someone who knows firsthand when he made a pretty big choice at the start of the pandemic. Mitchell Lee is a trainee ophthalmologist. I've been practicing that word for a couple of days. Mitchell, good morning.
Good morning. You did well.
Thank you. Not a word
in common parlance.
Hey, how long have you been spending time working in and around Western New South Wales?
With our training at Prince of Wales, we're tied to the Outback Eye Service, which was the service that Fred Hollows famously set up out in the communities out there centred around Bourke. So I've been going out for about the last two and a half years or so.
Yeah, and a usual stint is how long?
So it depends. Some of the clinics are overnight, some of them are a week. Out in Broken Hill, where I was for the last term, we do 3 weeks on and then a week back in Sydney and go on a cycle like that for about 3 months or so.
So when did you realise that 3 weeks was going to look a little bit different to the other times that you've spent out there at the start of the year?
Well, I got a bit of a heads up about it just before I went out for a trip in March where my supervisor out there said to me, look, you know, COVID, some funny things are happening. We can't, you know, guarantee what the flight's going to be like. So just keep it in your mind that it might be a little bit difficult. And, you know, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm sure it'll be okay and went out. And it was about halfway through that trip that the big lockdowns came into place, the international borders closed, and Rex, the airline that helps us out there, just said, look, we can't run flights anymore. I was halfway through the trip and we realised, oh, okay, well, if we don't, we've got to either leave by the end of the week or, you know, stay for the long haul, essentially.
Yeah. How big a decision was that for you? You know, because you are, you know, there's a life back in Sydney that you have.
Look, it's true. It was a bit of a scary moment, but it was... out there, you know, it's a very remote community. There's really no other option for all of these patients. And so, you know, it certainly wasn't an off-the-cuff decision. There was a lot of thinking and talking that went into this. But really, if we didn't keep the service running, there was a real risk of people going blind out there. So it was, in a way, yes, it was a hard decision, but in a way it was also a very easy decision in that there really was no reasonable alternative.
Yeah, because that concern was that if you left, the person who was meant to come next wouldn't have been able to get there.
Correct. So we rely on, you know, the system as it works is there's a junior surgeon, a trainee surgeon like me who's out there and, you know, managing the service day to day. And we have consultants, our senior fully qualified colleagues who come out for a half a week at a time for support and teaching and supervision, and they certainly weren't going to be able to come out. And yes, the concern was that in coming back, if I had one of the last flights out, then there's no opportunity to then bring someone else out to weather the storm out here.
Yeah.
Out there.
Tell me a little bit about what you do as part of the Outback Eye Services. What sort of treatments are you providing to this community?
So it's what the major diseases that we look after out there are things like diabetic eye disease, because there is an epidemic of diabetes in Australia, but also macular degeneration and cataracts. So we are the only cataract surgical centre for 3 hours drive around Broken Hill and the only public cataract surgery service for 5 hours drive.
Wow.
So it's surgery predominantly cataracts and injection therapy for diabetes and macular degeneration, and then the general eye care for other common conditions like glaucoma, pediatric conditions like children with turned eyes and lazy eyes, that sort of business.
Mm. Were you able to continue that work even as restrictions came into place, Mitchell?
Yes, well, we knew early on that we needed to, and the hospital was very accommodating of that one. They know that our patients are at high risk of losing vision if their care is interrupted. So we got a lot of support from the health service to be able to keep our service running as we usually do. Of course, we made the decision around social distancing to minimise our patient contact as much as possible. Mm. It's a bit of a quirk with our specialty that so much of it has to be done by physical examination, actually seeing and looking at the patient, that it's very hard to go to a telemedicine model for ophthalmology. But we were able to have a look and see through the patients who were more stable, that we were just seeing, say, yearly, that we were able to call up and say, have your symptoms changed? If not, then here's the things to look out for, and we'll see you when this is all over. Unless you have a problem, you can let us know.
Yeah.
But a lot of our patients did just need to come in to be seen.
Obviously, you stayed there, but did it look a little bit different, the team you had around you?
It was the hospital itself is very lucky for a rural health service in that there's a lot of, most of the staff up there do live in Broken Hill and are locals. It stopped a lot of the highly specialised services coming up. So our ear, nose and throat surgeon colleagues, some of our plastic surgery colleagues weren't able to come out just because they don't have someone based in town. But a lot of the other services were able to keep running, which I think is a real testament to the quality of the health service up at Broken Hill.
Yeah. Mitchell, what were patients saying to you when they realised that you had stayed and they were able to get what they needed because you had made that choice?
I got a lot of goodwill from the community, which is really nice. Patients the nurses were letting all the patients know, oh, the eye doctors had decided to stay in town to look after you. So the patients were very, very grateful. I've got a lot of offers of, well, next time you're out here, come and have dinner with us, or we'll take you out and see. The patients up there are really lovely, and they're really thankful for the service we provide.
Yeah. Did you learn anything different in those 3 months compared to when you're out there for just a few weeks?
I certainly felt a lot more a part of the community than we do when we're flying in, flying out, because, of course, our weeks are usually so busy out there that there's very little time to do anything other than just go down to the shops and pick up some supplies, and the rest of the time we're based around the hospital. You see, you occasionally go out and have a look around town a little bit, but actually living in the community, and it's a very different feeling when you're there for several months and you can really become a part of the community more so, I think, than you do when doing fly-in, fly-out. So I quite enjoyed that experience.
Has it made you consider where to next for you in your career?
I've always been someone who's known that I want to practice a little more regionally. So in a way, I was probably well suited to be the person being out there. So in a way, it was actually quite a good learning experience for me in terms of taking the next step career-wise, getting a bit more experience in being a bit more independent in the way I do things. Whereas through our training, where for safety reasons as well, we're at bigger hospitals with a lot of supervision, it was just an interesting experience to step outside that a little bit and really be running a service myself in a way. It's just confirmed to me that's what I want to be doing, a little bit more regional rather than being stuck in the city.
How long have you got left before we can lure you back to regional New South Wales full time?
So I've got I sit my final fellowship examination at the start of next year. So I'll see out next year in Sydney, and then all of us generally do 1 or 2 years of training in another state or overseas, just to get a bit of experience outside the health system that we've trained in so far. And then I'll be out and hopefully setting up somewhere in regional New South Wales.
We would love to have you put in your bits now for an ophthalmologist, because Mitchell Lee will be ready in just a couple of years. So there's perfect time for planning. Mitchell, it's really great to hear about, how your experience was through this in an area that maybe we didn't think about so much while we're in the middle of it. Thank you for telling us about it this morning.
No worries. Lovely being on the show. Thank you very much.
That's Mitchell Lee there. He's a trainee ophthalmologist. He spent a lot more time than he expected out in Western New South Wales working with the Outback Eye Service, providing that really important care and medicine to, that entire community. 5 hours drive for some people, both through telehealth and through physical catch-ups as well, to make sure that community remained safe and well.